Hello and welcome to the Naked Bootleg, where tonight we will continue to roll out of the trivia pocket with no protection. Obviously, this is Scott here. I'm joined by Marcus. We're going to cover NFL free agency. It's the most wonderful time of the year, obviously. It's the NFL offseason. We just finished up the combine. This won't be as draft heavy. You'll be getting a lot of draft heavy content from us like you do every year. And then we take an 11-month hiatus and then the bootleg comes back. So there'll be plenty of draft stuff. We're going to focus more on free agency. So I pretty much just want to get into it. Sir, how are you? And what's your excitement level for this upcoming free agency cycle?
I'm good. It's interesting because for the first time in a long time, there's uncertainty with the Seahawks. It's a good excitement, but I don't know anything. I think I do because John Schneider's still there. So I think I know the type of guys that they want, but you know, Pete did have final say for a long time, so it'll be interesting. So more than normal, because usually they're not very active in free agency. But we're opening up a ton of cap space. So, yeah, I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
Cool. All right. Well, I mean, just like in the actual NFL, everything has to start with the quarterback position. So I want to go through, talk about a couple guys, obviously, that are either we know are available or presumed to be available. And then some teams, obviously, who we know have kind of been in the mix in the quarterback market. So I think it makes sense to start right at the beginning with someone you're obviously very familiar with. And that's Russell Wilson, who has officially been released by the Broncos. Report came out today, I believe, actually, that there's mutual interest between Wilson and the Steelers. But where do you kind of see this going? Do you think that there's still enough in the tank here for a team to take a shot at him as a starter? And where do you think he is when training camp begins?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's just absolutely insane that the Broncos gave him this contract and that they're willing. I mean, I guess that's what they get for having Walmart money, but to eat $85 million is crazy. And one thing Russell gets to do, which he's never been able to do, is give a big FU to them and just sign for the league minimum, and they're going to have to pick up the tab. I don't know if he has anything left, to be honest. He looked terrible in Nathaniel Hackett's offense, but it seems like Nathaniel Hackett might not be very good at his job. And then Sean Payton clearly didn't like him, and Sean Payton almost seemed to be sabotaging him, to be quite honest. So I don't know what he has left in the tank, but what I do know is when the guy has stuff around him and you give him opportunities, I think the Steelers would be a great place for him to land. Because they've got weapons. He's not afraid to just chuck it up. I feel like George Pickens would be stoked that Russell Wilson would be his quarterback because he's just going to let it fly. That's what he does best. It would be stocked down for Pat Freiermuth probably. But yeah, I like the Steelers or even the Vikings for that matter. I mean, we'll get to their situation. But I think the Steelers makes the most sense and they can do it without breaking the bank. And frankly, if they were truly married to Kenny Pickett, like they claim they are, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I think the two teams that we were hearing about even prior to the release were kind of the Steelers and the Falcons, right? These are two sort of teams that are desperate to get a veteran quarterback. One, because in the Steelers case, you don't have enough to move up in the draft. You know, to get someone young, you don't really want to do that again. You just did that with Pickett, right? This is a team. It's Mike Tomlin. I think they're going to want a veteran. Atlanta's in an interesting position where they are eighth in the draft. So they could presumably be in position to draft a quarterback or they could move up. But it also seems like they brought in Raheem Morris, who is a veteran coach. He does kind of seem like the kind of guy who maybe wants to bring in a veteran as well. There's a ton of weapons there in Atlanta. I think Drake London would obviously love to have Russell Wilson. Stock down from Kyle Pitts, although I don't know if his stock could go any further down at this point. So maybe stock up for him, actually, just because I don't know if his stock can go any lower. So I think those are the two teams we're hearing the most about. I'm going to throw out a curveball, though, because you mentioned something. You mentioned Russ kind of giving the Broncos an FU. And I want to throw the Raiders into the mix, I think, as a dark horse candidate for Russell, because I also think that while Antonio Pierce has made it clear that they need to upgrade at the quarterback position, I think that's pretty apparent. And he does seem like the type of guy who would get along with Russell Wilson. And I think Russell Wilson would enjoy playing for. He does seem to be a player's coach. And what bigger FU to the Broncos than to stay in the division, face them twice a year, you know, and really try to stick it to them that way. So my prediction is actually the Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to come out of nowhere and make that happen, because I just don't know if they're going to move up in the draft for a quarterback from 13. Because one, you have to jump Denver, you have to jump Minnesota, you have to jump Atlanta, maybe the Giants. I think there's a lot to give up. And they have too many holes on their roster, in my opinion, to be giving up more assets to jump up in the draft for a quarterback. So I think you take a shot at Russell for a year or two, kind of see where that goes. If it works out, great. You've got a veteran receiver in Davante Adams. I do think they would have to add a vertical threat in that receiver room if they brought in Russell. But that's a dark horse candidate for me. So I'm actually going to throw out the Raiders, only because I kind of see the Steelers maybe signing Ryan Tannehill as a Band-Aid because of Arthur Smith, who took over as the Steelers offensive coordinator. He loves Ryan Tannehill. And I think he feels like he might be able to replicate what they did in Tennessee with Najee Harris, with Jalen Warren. You know, they've got the running back situation that Smith loved to have in Tennessee and run the football. So I do think I bet he feels like he could win 9 or 10 games with Ryan Tannehill at the helm. And I could see the Steelers kind of having that as a backup if they strike out getting anyone else.
Yeah, that's that. And they're a true wild card because Antonio Pierce appears to be running this team like he's playing Madden or something. And I don't. Yeah. And I love it personally, because I just feel like the Raiders need that dickish attitude like they used to have. But does that translate to wins? I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, in what he decides to do with this quarterback situation.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting. I agree where, and we don't know yet, like, what he prefers. He's too new of a head coach. We don't know what type of system is going to be in place. We don't know what type of quarterback he's going to favor. So it does kind of leave it wide open for the Raiders. Let's quickly talk about Justin Fields, because I think the Russell Wilson domino effect maybe affects Justin Fields, because the same teams we've heard for Russell Wilson, the Steelers, the Falcons, we've heard as potential trade spots for Justin Fields, along with possibly the Raiders, the Vikings. What are your thoughts on Justin Fields, what the Bears should do, what you would do if you were in their position, and then where you think the landing spot is for Fields, I guess, that would possibly help him the most in his, improvement in the league?
I love Justin Fields. I just think there's something there with other guys that in the past that people would label busts. They didn't show the production and the ability to make things happen like Justin Fields has. And I feel like the coaching situation, the revolving door of coordinators, was tough on him. And I know he wants to be a starter. My personal feel for Justin I would want him to go somewhere that has a quarterback already, that he has no pressure. And if this guy in front of him falters, then you fall back on Justin Fields. I mean, I think he can fit anywhere truly, but I think it would kind of be to his detriment if he went somewhere and was just expected to be the guy. I think that's why there's not the trade market that the Bears have clearly thought they were going to get. I mean, I don't know if at one, maybe if they traded him before the season started, they might have gotten a one for him. But the fact that the season went the way that it did, I imagine a day two pick at best, probably a third at best. And personally, you know, you mentioned a dark horse. I won't go into like the favorites, but a dark horse for me would be my Seattle Seahawks. But we don't have a second round pick, which is originally what I thought it was going to take, because we traded for Leonard Williams. But you give him a third or a fourth, and that's what they're willing to do. I would love to bring him in. And then you have Geno, and you have him back there. He can learn it. And then you can make your decision depending on how the season goes of where you want to go from there. If Geno plays well and Justin Fields sits the bench for a year, I don't see any problem with that, in my opinion. And then you can just hand him the keys, or season starts poorly, let's go to Justin Fields and see what he can do. And I like the idea of Justin Fields, DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you know, K9, Zach Charbonnet. That all sounds great to me, but that's selfishly looking at it. I just don't know that there's a clear landing spot in my mind that makes sense where he can just come in and be like, boom, it's on. But we haven't seen him be in a consistent system. So it's tough. It's tough with him for sure.
Yeah, I think if he's going to be a starter, I think I like Atlanta the most for him, just because I think they could do a lot of fun things in that offense with the youth and the speed that they have. Like him and Bijan, you know, just running options and things like that, I think could be really problematic for opposing defenses. I think having an athletic tight end like Kyle Pitts, who can be kind of it's a security blanket with potential. It's like, all right, six yard check down, but he could also break a tackle and take it to the house. I'd be interested to see what that offense looked like, but I do think that could potentially also set him up for failure because the offense is new, because it's a new regime coming in, and it's young offensive playmakers who aren't necessarily proven either, whether that's their fault or the fault of their quarterback play. But they do have a really young athletic offensive line, which I think would also help in Atlanta. And he hopefully wouldn't be running for his life like he was in Chicago. They're really high, obviously, especially on the interior, which is really good and opens up running lanes, because we did see how effective he was as a runner. The issue has been the passing and, you know, that lack of another option outside of DJ Moore and to a lesser extent, Cole Kmet is kind of an issue. So if Atlanta doesn't get a number two receiver, is it going to be a similar situation to what he had in Chicago? I think that's what would worry me.
Yeah, and I think Atlanta, of the options, it is the best one because of the O-line. Because if he doesn't have to run for his life, or even a negative for him is because he has to run for his life, even when he had clean pockets, his footwork's bad, his process is sped up. So that, to me, would probably be the most comfortable situation for him. I don't like the Pittsburgh thing at all, because now, while I think him matched up with Arthur Smith would be great, I just don't know if that's the place for him to go because of how starved that fan base is for. Yeah. I feel like the pressure would be a lot. But yeah, I mean, I love Justin Fields. I want him to be great, and I hope he does. I hope he is.
Yeah, let's quickly, because we're talking about the Falcons, let's really quickly talk about the same division. Baker Mayfield, I think he's going back to the Bucs. It's almost a done deal. I would imagine you probably feel the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Once they locked Mike Evans up, he has to come back. That's the only issue is we'll find out how important Dave Canales was. I know they hired in-house as the offensive coordinator. So that's a positive, I would say, because they don't have to change a bunch of stuff, hopefully. And I thought Baker played great and the system was obviously great for him. So.
Agreed. I think that's pretty much a done deal. So that really leaves us, the only name left to talk about is Kirk Cousins in that situation. Personally, I think the Vikings find a way to get it done. I don't really see Kirk going anywhere else because, again, to me, the quarterback needy teams, I just don't really like it. I don't know that I like him in Pittsburgh, Atlanta. I'm not sure that I like him or see him there. So I think ultimately the Vikings find a way to get it done. Also, I think out of desperation on their part, because that allows them to not have to move up in the draft and give up future assets for a quarterback, because they have a lot of other needs that they need to fill. So I think they'll find a way to get that done. But what are your thoughts on Cousins and possible landing spots if it's not Minnesota?
Minnesota makes the most sense just in terms of continuity. Him being 30, what is he, 5 or 6, and coming off an Achilles is terrifying to me. It would be the thing that makes me hesitate the most. But yeah, I just don't know what. I don't know if he doesn't have Justin Jefferson, how great he truly is right now. And I would be nervous if I was a team that's not the Vikings, and this is my like, oh, this is going to push us over the top. Because is Kirk Cousins the type of guy that can push you over the top, or is he just very good in the system that he's in right now? I think it's hard to tell, but I mean, I like Kirk fine, but I think I hope Minnesota figures it out, because I think that's the best path to success for them and Kirk. But it'll be interesting, because Kevin O'Connell, I think, is probably pissing the GM off by continually saying, I want Kirk Cousins, because the GM is like a Adofu Mensah, I think is his last name. I don't remember his first name, but he's a very analytics heavy. And I've heard just from listening to podcasts and stuff that he kind of wants to get back on a timeline with a rookie quarterback. So we'll see what prevails there, I suppose.
I think there's a possible compromise too, right? Where you bring Cousins back to kind of appease O'Connell and you draft a quarterback. So then you're kind of doing both, especially with, we don't even know what Kirk's going to look like coming off the Achilles, right? So there's a chance that, you know, he doesn't get back to any sort of form previously that he had. So then if you have that security blanket of bringing in, let's like a JJ McCarthy or a Bo Nix, you know, someone that just in case Kirk can't go, you have someone. And then if Kirk can go, you have someone who I assume would be a really willing mentor to a young quarterback, you know, with the Vikings there. And yeah, like you mentioned, Kirk without Justin Jefferson, like, we just don't really know, right? That's why the Patriots don't make sense to me. They don't have a receiving core. So I just don't see that working out. The only team that maybe makes a little bit of sense again is the Raiders, because they have Davante Adams. But again, is Antonio Pierce going to, like, if you can get Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins at this point, and Wilson comes in with a little bit more fire because you're in the same division as the Broncos, I think I'd probably take that over a guy coming off a torn Achilles who has a lot of question marks about his talent outside of Minnesota potentially. So, yeah, I think, again, out of desperation, I feel like the Vikings have to get something done with him. I don't really see it going a different way. Let's move to running back, though, because this is arguably the most decorated free agent class at running back that we've ever seen. I mean, there are just down the list, there's like six or seven guys that have, you know, rushed for over 1,000 yards and been lead backs in the league. So I think the running back carousel is way more interesting than the quarterbacks this season. So I think let's just start with Saquon Barkley, because, you know, this is a guy that we've seen what he can do when he's healthy. We've seen what happens when he's healthy but doesn't have an offensive line or a lot of talent around him. We've seen what happens when he's injured, and the team that he was on, the Giants, when he was injured, literally had no offense. So, you know, we've kind of seen all different versions of Saquon Barkley. So if you're Saquon Barkley, what's kind of a landing spot that you're really interested in that you feel like, one, is going to keep you healthy and, you know, elongate your career, but two, is going to set you up for success? Because I think in the right offense, Saquon could put up MVP type numbers, but where is that right offense and what's that right fit in your opinion for him?
The Houston Texans need to give him a bag.
Yeah, I have them too. So yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah, if Houston adds him to their what their core that they have right now, I think the sky's the limit for that offense. They got to keep Bobby Slowick, the OC. He wanted to run the ball to a fault, I think, in the Baltimore playoff game. They tried to run the ball. And Devin Singletary, nice player, not the answer. But if you get Saquon, I mean, that is just, to me, that is a win now, and it makes sense kind of move. I mean, you give him a 3-year deal, and you get the rest of his prime with Stroud, with Tank Dell, with Nico Collins. They just brought back Dalton Schultz. And then you still have assets in the draft to use that you can still add to that. I think they could use another guy. But yeah, to me, this is a no-brainer. I think the Houston Texans should 100% throw the most amount of money because they can and keep and get Saquon in that building. And I like that more than anyone, except for possibly if he ends up becoming available, Josh Jacobs. That would be the only other name. But I think Saquon in them is a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The Texans have over 50 mil to spend in free agency. I think they're going to go on a spending frenzy. This is the hot team in the league right now, right? You have the hot coach, D'Amico Ryans. You've got the hot young quarterback in Stroud that people want to play with. This is the right spot for Saquon. And I think that offense, it, you know, can keep him, I think, motivated, keep him healthy, because he won't have to just run the ball 25, 30 times a game. He can run the ball 16 to 18 times. He can catch 5 or 6 passes from Stroud, and Stroud can still spread it around to all the weapons that you named. I think I completely agree. It's a no-brainer. I think it's going to happen. I want it to happen. I think I want it to happen more than I think it'll actually happen. But there already are reports that there's clearly interest on Houston's side. So I think it really just comes down to Saquon at this point.
Yeah, it's having adding Saquon to the offense would be like Devin Singletary eating a mushroom and powering up, because that's exactly what I think of. I'm like, oh, they gave Devin Singletary the mushroom, and now he's Saquon Barkley. So yeah, I think I would love to see it personally.
Yeah, you mentioned Josh Jacobs as a name. Do you think Josh Jacobs ends up hitting the market?
No, I don't. I don't think he ends up on the market. I think the Raiders figure it out. But he, more than Saquon, I think he's more of a, I would be willing, if I'm anybody that can, to give him a long-term deal, because he is still very young. He was in a timeshare in college, so he doesn't have a ton of tread on the tires. I don't know why the Raiders haven't done this already and locked him up, because he's a productive player.
Yeah, and he's young. And like you said, he's been durable. Like, he has not had any injury concerns, any major injury concerns there. I did hear something on a podcast that he was not really gelling with Antonio Pierce. That could potentially be a factor. But I don't think the Raiders can afford to not bring him back. Like, you already have questions at quarterback. There's no one outside of Dante. I mean, Jacoby Myers, I'll put some respect. He had a great season. He seems to fit really well.
I love Jacoby Myers.
He seems to fit really well in that offense. But it's like, outside of him and Devontae, I mean, you know, Michael Mayer, fine. But there's not much else on that offense.
You're not a Zamir White guy?
I like him as backup. No. I don't like him as a one. I just don't think they can. I don't think Antonio Pierce, like, getting this job when there was, it's not like he was given this job right away. Like, there was, you know, the Raiders did their due diligence. And so it's like, it almost feels like they're 1 foot out the door already on Antonio Pierce. So I don't think he can afford to not have Josh Jacobs on that. I just think you're setting him up to fail by not bringing back Josh Jacobs. And so I do think they'll find a way to get it done. If there are chemistry issues or whatever the case is, like, be men and suck it up and make it happen. Like, because again, you're the Raiders and you're a much maligned franchise. Like, you really can't afford to just keep screwing up like this.
No, they need to lock him up. He's the only good pick that was made in the last 5 years, really. Early pick. You have to lock him up. He's their identity as of right now.
Completely, completely agree. Speaking of Alabama running backs, let's go to Derrick Henry, who it's probably almost guaranteed he's not going back to the Titans. I don't see that happening. He's in win now mode, and they're rebuilding around Will Levis and Tajay Spears and different things. So I don't see that happening, and I haven't heard a single thing about him returning to Tennessee. So I think it's almost a foregone conclusion. The Ravens.
I mean, hey, they gave him a microphone after the last game and let him speak to the crowd. That to me is you know, an indictment as any that they're not bringing him back.
Exactly. And it seems like they're doing right by him, right? The Titans are a franchise that, you know, will do right by their players and their veterans. The Ravens are the hot team here. Everybody wants to see him go to Baltimore. Everybody wants to see what that red zone offense would look like with Lamar, Derrick Henry, and Mark Andrews. That's the hot team. Is that your, I guess, predicted landing spot or your wishful landing spot there? Because I have another one that I think I can see happening, but I want to get your thoughts on where you think the best fit is for Derrick Henry, or where Derrick Henry will think the best fit is for Derrick Henry, because he obviously wants to play for a championship.
I don't love the Baltimore fit because I just think they've been successful with, like, Gus Edwards in that role. I don't see the need for it, and I think they would have to pay him a little bit to get him there. One that I just thought of that I don't think is feasible, but I would love to see Derrick Henry in Tampa as, like, the change-up to Rashad White, because, man, Rashad White's such a good back out of the backfield, and he's a solid runner, but they need somebody to grind out yardage. But with paying Mike Evans, and they're going to have to break off Baker Mayfield, I don't know that they'll be able to do that.
And Winfield, because he's franchised, and they're going to have to pay him at some
point. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I actually really like that a lot. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen because of that reason. I just don't think there's going to be enough there to bring him in. We're supposed to have full disclosure for everyone. We're supposed to have Eat on this podcast. And I'm going to say it now. The Cowboys do make sense to me. because I don't think Tony Pollard is coming back. And I do think that, you know, this is a franchise that's always sort of desperate to make that one last push for a Super Bowl. We saw what happened last year. They were very, very good in the regular season. And then, of course, as soon as they got to the playoff, the wheels fell off again. They could not run the ball. They could not punch the ball in the red zone. Everything fell on Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. That was pretty much the entire offense last season. So I could certainly see a veteran running back coming in for that team. They want to bring someone in who can do a good job there. And I think that Henry in that offense as a guy that Dak can just turn around, give the ball to, and know that you're getting 4 or 5 yards of carry takes a lot of pressure off of Dak. And that's really, I think, what the Cowboys need. So, you know, the Cowboys don't have a lot of cap space, but I think they have enough to get it done, especially if they they can restructure some of their veterans. And I don't think Tyron Smith is coming back. So I do think that ultimately Dallas would have what it takes financially to get it done. And I think I could see Henry thinking in his head that this is a place you can go to win a championship, even though I think we all know like the Cowboys are just going to fall apart in the playoffs most likely. But I could see that happening, because I agree with you about the Ravens. It doesn't make sense to guess he's obviously much better than Gus Edwards, but Gus has been successful in that role. He's a lot cheaper, and the Ravens need to allocate their money elsewhere. So I don't see Baltimore either. I haven't gone to the Cowboys.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that would be smart of them, because it was very clear that Tony Pollard on his own without that hammer is he's just not built for that full workload.
Yeah. And the Cowboys are desperate, because I don't think Pollard's coming back, and Rico Dowdle's a free agent. So literally Deuce Vaughn's the only running back they have on the contract right now.
My favorite. Oh, yeah. I love Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah.
And also, oh no, Rico Dowdle.
No, I know, but it's like,
yeah. No,
he actually ran better than Pollard did last year. Like his yard from carry, like, the eye test watching the Cowboys, like, Rico Dowdle looked a lot better than Tony Pollard, which is crazy. But you know what? I think Pollard had some injuries and things like that. But I do see them going the veteran route rather than the draft. They have other needs they need to address in the draft, particularly offensive line. So I do think that I could see them anteing up and going for Derrick Henry. I want to talk about Austin Eckler, too, because that's an interesting one to me. Because, again, it doesn't seem like he's going back to the Chargers. I do think that that Harbaugh is going to want to start over, you know, at certain positions. And I think that running back is one of them. I actually am almost – I'm like 75% sure they're going to draft Blake Corum at some point during the draft, the Chargers. So I could see like Blake Corum and then a cheaper sort of veteran coming in for that team. So I don't see Eckler going back. What are your thoughts on Eckler, his market, and where you think he would be successful?
That's the thing. I might be the only one who thinks this, but I think Eckler might be washed, man. He just did not look like the same guy. And I almost feel like he overtrains, because you see him in the offseason, he's posting all this stuff about him working out, and he's just, I don't know. I would be hesitant to bring him in unless it's for a cheap prove it deal. And yeah, as the receiving back in a committee, I think the guy can do great, but it was just very apparent last year when they didn't have anybody behind him that he just didn't have the same juice. And I know the season didn't go that well for them, and it wasn't all his fault, but he just didn't look that explosive to me. Let's see. I forgot. The Lions signed Montgomery for multiple years, didn't they?
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, him and Gibbs they're back. Let me throw my team, because I think the Patriots make a lot of sense. You just mentioned kind of a change of pace, right? Ramondre Stevenson's the one. You have Eckler in there. We know how New England is when it comes to receiving backs. They have a history of your James Whites and your Deion Lewis's and your, you know, Rex Burkhead's and so on and so forth of these receiving backs. And he's a veteran guy coming into a team that is likely going to have a young quarterback, has a pretty young receiving core. I think getting a veteran in that offense makes a lot of sense for them. They have the money to spend, where I think they can take a couple risks in free agency. So I do like them in New England. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, they need so much. And getting him and pairing him with, why can't I think of his name at the moment?
Ramondre.
Yeah, I think that would work, and especially considering there's a possibility that they start the season with Mac Jones. You're going to need a guy to catch some passes out of the backfield until whoever they select at three is ready, or if they select Marvin Harrison Jr., then you just need more playmakers because their wide receiver room is so bad. And I think Eckler would be a nice, like, solid mid-level option.
And he just seems like a Patriots guy, right? He seems like he would sign there, and then he would have, like, 12 combined touchdowns and just frustrate fantasy owners because he'd be scoring, like, 15-yard receiving touchdowns when people are counting on Ramondre. So it just – I feel like that would happen.
Yeah, he'll be like this generation's Mike Tolbert, except the exact opposite. Like,
yeah,
the exact opposite kind of player, but he'll be new age Mike Tolbert vulturing touchdowns.
Yeah, I completely agree. Some other guys I want to bring up, maybe not as in as much detail, but possible landing spots. So we talked about Tony Pollard. He is a free agent. I actually have him going to the Chargers. I think that he could be a nice, again, 1A and a half, 1B to with maybe possibly a rookie. Like I said, I would put money down. You're a gambler. I put a lot of money right now that Blake Corum's a Charger at the end of the draft. That just makes sense to me with Harbaugh taking over. But I could see like Blake Corum and Tony Pollard as a committee. DeAndre Swift, I think, is going back to the Eagles. I know there's a lot of reports that like Eagles don't pay running backs and they're willing to let guys walk and it's next man up. But he was so successful there. And this is a team that still has Super Bowl aspirations. I don't really think it makes sense for them to not bring him back. And then the last one I have is A.J. Dillon, who I actually have going to Tampa for the same reason that you said you like Derrick Henry there, is to kind of get that ground and pound guy to pair with Rashad White. I think that would be kind of a cheaper alternative for them to bring someone in who is the kind of thunder to Rashad White's lightning. What are your thoughts on Pollard, Swift, Dillon?
Pollard, first of all, if I'm DeAndre Swift, I don't know why I would go back to the Eagles, simply because of how they did him dirty in last year, just not giving him the ball. I don't get what they do. I wouldn't go back there.
They love Kenneth Gainwell.
For whatever reason. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me. And Boston Scott. Like, I don't understand it. But I actually think Pollard, and he could stick it to the Cowboys here, I think Pollard would fit great with the Eagles because they have this committee, and then he can just go back to doing what he does best, which is hair on fire for, you know, 10, 12 touches a game and be super explosive, because he needs to be somewhere where there's a committee approach, because he proved last year that he can't handle the big workload. And A.J. Dillon, he needs to go somewhere. I mean, what's unfortunate is he wasn't that great in his role as the hammer in Green Bay. So it's like, right, you're going to, I mean, I wouldn't pay him hardly anything. I'd make him come prove that he can be that guy. Cause for somebody that big, hurt way too often.
Yeah. So if in your scenario, if Pollard goes to the Eagles, where does Swift go? What's the spot that you like for Swift?
Oh gosh. Let's see, a spot for Swift that I kind of like. And again, I assume this is going to be like a prove it type deal, would be like, Arizona to be the lightning to James Conner's thunder. I think that would be a fun offense for him to be in, but I don't know what his, I mean, does he want to be a lead back? Because, I mean, here, I was going to say Carolina, but they have Miles Sanders, which that was awful. I don't know. That's a tough one. Well, and it sounds like the Bengals might be releasing Joe Mixon, and that could be an A.J. Dillon spot for sure.
Because
I think they like Chase Brown. I think the fact that they played him so much at the end of the year means they trust Chase Brown. And if they're willing to cut Joe Mixon, then I think that. So that's and of course I just added another name because it sounds like they might be leaning towards cutting him just because of his salary. But yeah, Joe Mixon would be another one that I would love.
What about the Commanders? They have the second most cap space. Are you sold on Brian Robinson as a one, as a lead back? Because Antonio Gibson's a free agent. They may or may not bring him back. But how do you feel about the Commanders for Swift?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Because he fills in that Antonio Gibson role perfectly. I like Brian Robinson a lot. He's like the Chris Warren of this era, where he just like does the job and it's not sexy. I know Eric Eade would be very mad that I said that because he loves Chris Warren, but I saw Chris Warren in person and nothing sexy about him. The guy just does the job. So, that would be a great spot for him, would be the Commanders and whoever they pick at quarterback.
Yeah, and I think the other team too that I think has to get in this sweepstakes of running backs is the Vikings, right? Like they just released Alexander Mattison, so all they have is Ty Chandler right now. So they're going to need to figure out running back, whether it's through the draft or if it's. I actually could see the Vikings like taking a flyer on like J.K. Dobbins, right? And just saying like, hey, we'll sign you for a 1 year deal. We'll give you the ball, and if you get injured, that's pretty much it. Your career's over. But come on in and let's compete. But yeah, the Vikings are certainly a team that needs to figure out what they're doing at running back and like what sort of identity is going to work, because it went from Dalvin Cook to Madison. It's the same type of running. Ty Chandler is a nice change of pace back. He actually had a pretty decent second half, but they need to figure out like maybe this Alexander Madison, Dalvin Cook style doesn't work anymore. Maybe they need to get a different style of running back in there.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think this running back draft class is that good up top, but I think there's depth to it. So that's the other thing that's going to be tough, is a lot of these guys are probably going to end up taking really small deals because guys are going to get drafted and teams are going to hold out because they've all realized that they can hold off on running back and get everything else in order. And unfortunately for the running backs, they're going to have to. Other than the guys we named, like Jacobs, Saquon, and Derrick Henry, all those other guys aren't going to get much, I don't think.
Yeah, let's move to my favorite position of wide receiver. Certainly not as good a looking a class as we thought. Coming into free agency, there was a chance that Mike Evans would be available, possibly T. Higgins, which obviously there's still the possibility of a tag and trade with T. Higgins or a Brandon Ayuk trade or a Davante Adams trade. There are a lot of potential trade candidates, but when it comes to actual free agents, it's actually kind of a weak class. Michael Pittman as well, he's not going anywhere. So it's a pretty weak wide receiver class, but there obviously are some guys that can be difference makers. I think the biggest one there is Calvin Ridley, who we saw came back after his hiatus from the league, had a really great season with Jacksonville, was a big time security blanket for Trevor Lawrence. What do you see happening with Calvin Ridley? Now, if the Jags re-sign him, they have to give up a second round pick. So the chatter around the league seems to be that he's not going back to Jacksonville. So where do you see Calvin Ridley signing? What's a we there are a lot of teams that need pass catchers. So where do you see Calvin Ridley ending up?
It would be insane if they re-signed him. That doesn't
Yeah.
make any sense. Doesn't make sense. Personally, I would like the Titans to sign him because, again, he is like, what's crazy is he's about to be 30 years old, which is kind of nuts. But again, I feel like he's been injured a couple of times and then he had a whole year off, obviously. I think the Titans would be smart because they just have, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, they have nothing. And you add somebody like Calvin Ridley, who's experienced, who's way more explosive. You give Will Levis something, because I see a lot of people, they've been kind of mocking some of these receivers early in the draft to Tennessee. I just think they have so many more needs that can be addressed in the draft that I think a guy, and I think they have enough space to go get him. I would love to see the Titans get Calvin Ridley and like give Will Levis a chance, because I thought they really didn't help him out that much last year
Yeah.
with only DeAndre Hopkins. And then besides that, obviously the Chiefs are always going to be a candidate for, I mean, I would consider Calvin Ridley the top guy in this class. And I mean, I don't think they'd have to break the bank for him, and they just won another Super Bowl with MVS and
Justin
Justin
Watson.
Watson. So yeah, I mean, I think that's an instant upgrade if they were to be able to get Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, fourth most cap space for the Titans. So yeah, they definitely have the means to go get him. I like that a lot. I have the Patriots as a team that also needs to bring in a veteran receiver, a clear-cut number one, which Ridley's going to want to be, obviously. He would be in Tennessee. I think he's, talent-wise would be the one, but certainly DeAndre Hopkins is there, and I think in DeAndre Hopkins' mind, he's certainly still a one. But it's unequivocal if in New England that Calvin Ridley's the number one. New England has the most cap space this offseason, and I think that they realize like they need to do something on offense, and they need to spend money on that side of the ball. Defensively, they're losing like Josh Uche, and they have a couple holes to fill. They are bringing back Kyle Duggar, which is a nice move for them. Christian Gonzalez will be back healthy. I think defensively they're okay. Offensively they need to do something. So go out, get the top receiver in free agency. That way, if it is Mac Jones or, you know, whoever you draft there at three, they have a bona fide number one wide receiver. We saw what it did for Trevor Lawrence. Having Ridley there was big for him. And so if you have a young quarterback, Calvin Ridley seems to pair pretty well there. Let's talk about a couple like vertical threat speed guys. Let's start with Hollywood Brown, who obviously a guy that has underwhelmed his entire career as a one, because he's not a one and he shouldn't be a one. And yet, however, he's been on now two different teams that have kind of had to have him shoulder the burden of being a number one wide receiver. This is a chance for him, I believe, to go be a number two somewhere, or a 1B at least, where he can just focus on what he does best, and that's just run down the field and run streaks and have someone throw you the ball. So what's a good landing spot for Hollywood Brown, in your opinion?
Oh gosh, this is tough. I kind of like, and I'll be curious to hear your thoughts, I kind of like the Bills, honestly, because let's be frank, there's another guy on this list, Gabe Davis, who they expected to be that take the top off guy, and Gabe Davis just wasn't good enough. And, you know, Davis provides more flexibility because he's a bigger body and he can do different things. But if I'm Josh Allen, I'm not afraid. I would want somebody like Marquise Brown that can take the top off and he can take those deep shots. And I love the development of Khalil Shakir. I think he can be that slot guy, that underneath stuff, do all that dirty work. You still have Stephon Diggs. And I think if you got somebody that truly threatens the top of the defense, I think that could be a move they could make without having to, you know, spend. I mean, they're going to have to do something with that defense. It's getting decimated by cuts and all these other things. And they're clearly moving around stuff to with their O-line. I think Hollywood Brown would be a great fit with Allen. I mean, because he can truly take the top off. And Josh Allen is one of the few guys that can, you know, throw him over a defense.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a good fit. I'd prefer the Bills to draft a wide receiver. I think you can get a Hollywood Brown type in the draft. You know, we'll see what happens with Xavier Worthy as he continues to move up draft boards. But I would love Xavier Worthy in that offense. Ricky Pearsall, just one of these burners that we saw. Brian Thomas Jr. potentially. The Bills, I mean, yeah, I mean, Hollywood's not going to be cheap. He's not going to be overly expensive, but I don't know if the Bills have any money. Like, we're seeing them cut Jordan Poyer and Tre'Davious White and people to save money, and I just don't know if they can afford even Hollywood Brown at this point. So that's my only concern there. I'm going to negate everything I just said about him having to be or should be how he should be a 1B, and he should go where there's a quarterback that can kind of hit him vertically. I'm going to negate all that because I actually think he's going to wind up in Carolina. Because, I mean, again, it's similar to the Patriots. Like, you just have to get guys in there. Like, outside of Adam Thielen, they have nothing. Like, DJ Chark is a free agent. Jonathan Mingo really didn't show anything in year one. Not his fault. We know that. Like, their offense was atrocious. Bryce Young did not look good at all. So I see them saying, you know what? We made this huge investment to get Bryce Young. We gave up the number one pick this year and all of these assets to get Bryce Young. We have to get him help, and we can't wait till year three. Like, we need to see some sort of upward trajectory. Everybody's job is on the line there in Carolina for that. And so with Dave Canales there, I could see them saying, you know what? Let's take some of our money and let's bring in a guy who has speed for days, and even if Bryce can't give him the ball vertically, just throw him on, just throw screens and hope that he breaks something, because that would be better than what they had last season. So I see them going out and spending, and of all the guys, sort of the top end receiver free agents, I think Hollywood Brown makes a little bit more sense than some of the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we look at these lists and you want to put some of these guys on contenders, but it's true. Yeah. They're the most equipped to give him the money that he wants.
And treat him like a one, right? Because every receiver thinks they're a number one. Like, whether you are or not, every wide receiver thinks they're a number one wide receiver. And so they can actually make him feel like a number one wide receiver. And he could catch 90 balls for, like, 800 yards because they probably can't give him the ball vertically. But if he wants to catch 90 balls worth of screens, I think he could definitely do that on the Panthers.
Yeah. No, I like that. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I kind of throw him and Darnell Mooney in the same boat because, you know, Mooney's just it's all there for him. He just hasn't been able to put it together. And like with Fields, I think that he just needs to be somewhere stable. And
we've seen glimpses from him. Like we've seen particularly 2 years ago, not this past season, but before that. Like he's really athletic. He is for his size, like he's actually a pretty good contested catch guy. Like he makes some crazy sideline catches. He has a lot of athleticism. It seems like he has good hands. So yeah, I completely agree that I actually think he is a value signing wherever he goes, because I think he'll get signed as like a wide receiver three, but I think there's a lot of upside with Mooney. I actually have him going to Jacksonville, not necessarily to replace Calvin Ridley, but I do think they are going to need to get somebody else in there. Zay Jones is like the wide receiver who like just won't die. Like he should not be as good as he is, but he's still good for whatever reason. But I think they need to get some new personnel in that wide receiver room in Jacksonville. I could see Mooney going there, and I think he would be a target that Trevor Lawrence would value. But I agree. I really, really like Darnell Mooney, and I do think he'll be an underrated signing when it's all said and done.
Yeah, for sure. No, I like that. I like that a lot.
You mentioned Gabe Davis earlier. I haven't gone to the Texans actually, because again, I think they have the money to take some swings, even if they get Saquon. Like they have enough money to take some chances. I could see them wanting to get one more wide receiver in there. It does look like they're going to lose Noah Brown, who actually looked really good with them. I mean, everybody looked good with Stroud this past season, but I could see them. Tank Dell's coming off the injury, so you're not quite sure how explosive he'll be at the beginning of the season. Nico Collins as your one, I could see them taking a swing at Gabe Davis again as sort of that vertical threat, deep receiver that's coming in.
Yeah, no. And I would gladly sacrifice Gabe Davis, and he can block, on the goal line instead of Tank Dell. I'd get to Gabe Davis out of here, but he's just so disappointing to me. But he does have skills. The Giants could use somebody like that, because they are just constantly in this revolving door of having like 2 to 3 guys that are all like first year guys, and they're all the same body type. He offers a different body type. Now, that being said, they're definitely, I mean, they should draft a receiver with their first pick, but that doesn't excuse the fact that even if they draft any one of neighbors, Adunze, Harrison, you still need somebody other than Jalin Hyatt and Darius Slayton and Isaiah Hodgins. Like you need more. So I think that could be, and they'll be able to have some money to throw around.
Yeah, and he's also had a pretty good history with his hands, Gabe Davis. Like, the Giants receivers just struggle with drops. Like, they drop the ball a lot. Slayton, Hyatt, like you mentioned, Wandale Robinson, like, they drop a lot of balls. And Gabe Davis has been pretty sure-handed. That would be a nice, I think, fit for them. A couple other receivers just to finish off here. Tyler Boyd, who I think, again, will be, like, a value signing. I have Tyler Boyd going to the Titans. The Brian Callahan connection, obviously coming from Cincinnati. I think Boyd is one of those sort of Allen Robinson type of like very respected veteran receivers with good hands. You kind of know what you're getting. It's kind of like Robert Woods, right? It's like getting a Robert Woods on your team. Tyler Boyd, so I can see him going to Tennessee just to kind of be, kind of play in the slot a little bit and be a kind of a veteran that Will Levis could rely on.
Yeah. I like Tyler Boyd. It's just, you know, he's fine. He's serviceable. Yep. You get him on any of these teams. If that's your number three, Tyler Boyd with the Jets would be great. Ooh, it would be like what Randall Cobb used to be. And then you can let Garrett Wilson be explosive, and then you have Tyler Boyd work in those short areas in the middle of the field. And I think that would be a way to open that up. Now, who knows if GM Aaron Rodgers would allow it? He might. Right. They might sign Jordy Nelson. Who knows? But
yeah, no, I have the Jets taking a flyer, like a 1 year flyer on DJ Chark, just to get someone.
Oh,
in
yeah.
There.
Yeah. That's another one. Yeah.
Stretch the field. Cause I know Wilson has the field stretching capabilities, but he's so much more than that, where I think you need to get like and DJ Chark has been proven to be just like a big vertical threat. Kind of like an MVS, right? If he could be like what MVS was to Rodgers in Green Bay, I think that could work out kind of nice as a value signing. And then the only other guy that I have going somewhere is Curtis Samuel. I have him signing with Arizona, just to kind of be a gadget player. Like you kind of mentioned, having sort of someone else with James Conner, I could see like Curtis Samuel on jet sweeps and, you know, things that he was doing in Washington kind of coming in and being a speed element that the Cardinals offense has really been lacking the past few seasons.
Yeah, I just think they might need a different body type.
Oh, I agree.
Because they're all that. It's like Greg Dortch is 5'7" and Rondell Moore's 5'7" but yeah, they just need playmakers again. And I think they're, you know, again, I think they're going to take a receiver in the first round, but that doesn't mean that you can't take, you know, weapons is the name of the game. So
yeah, and you kind of see this a lot. Like, they're a team, they have a lot of money to spend. Sometimes teams just spend money to spend money because they have it, and it's not necessarily like, oh, we desperately need Curtis Samuel. Like, they don't need him, but they're one of those teams where it's like they have money to spend, and high-end free agents aren't going to want to go there. It's not a you know, sexy destination for free agents. So it's like they got to find somebody. So that, yeah. I kind of put that in that category of like, well, we got to spend some money, so let's go ahead and just bring in a Curtis Samuel and play him as more of a running back if that's what you want to do.
Right.
So that's it for wide receiver. I don't know if you had any other names wide receiver wise, you know, that you wanted to talk about. But like I said, I think it's the trade market, the potential trade market is a lot more exciting than the actual free agent class.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll see a bunch of smaller names that could end up working out, you know. But yeah. It's.
Well, it's also, I mean, this wide receiver class is ridiculous too, this draft class. So I think that's going to factor into a lot of these teams' decisions of like, should I pay Calvin Ridley, or, you know, can I get the sixth best wide receiver in round one, but that's still almost as good as Calvin Ridley, right? So I think that's going to factor in.
Yeah, for sure.
So I can't wait, obviously, until we get into our draft coverage, because this wide receiver class is, to me, I love this receiver class. And so I'd much rather take these rookie wide receivers than give a lot of money to Hollywood Brown. But we'll see what this is. But yeah, let's finish off the offensive side of the ball. We'll do offensive line, and then we'll cut it off there since we're doing offense. And then on our next episode, we'll cover defense. O-line is not great either as far as the free agent class. There's really not a lot there. I think Tyron Smith becomes sort of the big name now that he's been cut from Dallas. I have Tyron Smith going to the Jets. They desperately need to get some offensive line help. I could see them bringing in a veteran. I could see him and Aaron Rodgers having a really good relationship. Yeah, the Jets are likely going to draft a lineman as well, but they need more than one. So I think you can, if you sign Tyron Smith, I think it actually gives them flexibility, and they don't necessarily have to draft a tackle. They could draft a guard or more of a hybrid offensive lineman that would give them more versatility. What are your thoughts on Tyron Smith? Is Tyron Smith going to be like a Jason Peters, where he just plays forever and plays at a decent to high value? Or do you feel like maybe there's not much left in the tank there?
He kind of surprised me. I thought he was washed this year, and he actually played pretty well. Yeah, I mean, for him, I think at this point, he's probably just an assassin. You know, he just is going to go where he can probably play 3 or 4 more years and just go to wherever the best situation is to win a championship. And yeah, the Jets would be a great fit for him. You know, the Dolphins was looking like one, but now with all the injuries and cuts they're having to make, I don't know if that's as attractive. The Packers would be a great, because we have no idea what's going on with Bakhtiari. Yeah, he's to me the top of the list, because he can still do it at a high level. And, you know, anybody that's trying to close that gap quickly, I think, can use him.
Yeah, obviously, I'd love to see him in Cincinnati, but because they're losing Jonah Williams. But then the issue is who plays right tackle, because we know Orlando Brown doesn't want to play right tackle, and Tyron Smith's certainly not going to play right tackle. So I just don't know if they want a Orlando Brown temper tantrum, if that's worth it to bring in Tyron Smith.
Yeah, funny how he's a millionaire and he's going to throw a temper tantrum because they want him to play football.
Yeah. So, but obviously, I'd love to see any offensive lineman go to the Bengals because we know they still need it. Both guards from the Dolphins are the other guys I wanted to talk about, Connor Williams and Robert Hunt, both coming off really, really great seasons. I mean, I do think that the Miami offense probably made them look a little bit better than they actually are, just because when you have that much speed on offense and you got Mostert and Devon Achane, you know, and you're creating holes for them, you don't need to create the biggest holes for them necessarily. So I do think their value is bumped by that, but they are, you know, they're two big names. Williams has particularly shown a lot of versatility. He can play guard. He can kick in and play center. You know, Hunt graded really well, particularly as a run blocker guard. So those are the other guys for me. I have Connor Williams going to the Chargers. It's another team that I think needs to make a splash. Again, bringing in Harbaugh, I think they're going to want to get back to more of a ground and pound and take a little bit pressure off of Justin Herbert, especially with the question marks surrounding their receiving core. So I could see them bringing in a Connor Williams. And then Robert Hunt, I have gone to the Lions. They may lose both of their starting guards, and we know obviously how much they like to run the ball. And Robert Hunt just kind of seems like the type of ass-kicking guard Dan Campbell could get behind. So I could see them not bringing back either Glasgow or Jonah Jackson and bringing in Robert Hunt instead.
Yeah, I like Robert Hunt a lot. I would like him for the Seahawks. Their interior O-line is you know, leaves much to be desired. So he would be one that, you know, they're freeing up all this space that I would love to see them get after. I think Cody Whitehair is another one. Yep. Lakin Tomlinson. These are all guys that I think you can come in and plug right away and they'll improve your O-line. Speaking of Seahawks, Phil Haynes, I think is a good player. I think he's somebody that you can get on the cheap that would is like really, really solid as long as he's healthy. That's always been his thing. Dalton Reisner is another name. Sorry, I'm just like rattling off names. We only had the three to talk about, but
yeah,
I'm just looking at the names and yeah, I think it's a solid, if not, you know, it might be a little unspectacular, but
it's just not top heavy, right? There aren't big names, but like yeah, said, I think there's a lot of value adds, like the guys that will add value to your team. It's also a really, really good interior offensive line draft class as well. So again, you know,
the whole O-line, just if you need O-linemen, now's the time. So.
Yeah, so you know, it'll be interesting to see how that factors into what teams' plans are for free agency. But again, you do have your teams that are like obviously just very desperate for offensive linemen, particularly the Jets. The Dolphins have to be because they're losing both of the guys we just talked about. The Titans we know are on the market. So some of these teams that aren't drafting high enough to get the top end, you know, talent in the draft, may be the ones that want to kind of sink the money into free agency.
Yeah.
But I'm sure once
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure once we get into our draft coverage, we'll get more into how many offensive linemen, you know, might end up being in round one, because I think there could be a really high number.
A record, I'd be willing to go that far. This O-line class is so good. So yeah, it's gonna be fun these next few months. I know we haven't done a naked bootleg in so long, and it's like this is what it's about, because you and Eric and I, and Eric will be on the other episodes, I'm sure, but it's just, this is the time when it all starts to ramp up, and then we'll even do, maybe we'll even do a pod about the college football game coming out, because that's very important.
We should actually, I'm pretty sure that's going to take
weeks and months off of our lives.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks for being available, hanging out and doing this. You know, we went through a lot of names very quickly. Hopefully, if you're listening, you know, we touched on your team at some point. I think we named almost every team in the league, at least with somebody. So, you know, hopefully you like our predictions are, and we can take a look, obviously, and revisit this about a week from now and see how accurate we were, and then see maybe which signings we liked and didn't like, and kind of follow up that way. And then our next episode, we'll get in to the defensive side of the ball. Not a huge ton of names there either, but definitely some big names at the top, I think, of a particular position, especially like linebacker, you know, corner, potentially even with Jalen Johnson off the market. So we'll get into defense next time. So thanks for listening to the Naked Bootleg. We'll talk to you soon. Later.